This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
A topic that is rarely spoken about regarding the war between Israel and Hamas is the 30,000 displaced Israelis living in hotel rooms across the country. And with increasing talk of war with Hezbollah, the situation seems unlikely to improve. One of the hotels that has taken in refugees is the magnificent Nof Kinneret. The hotel is located on the mountainside in Upper Tiberias and overlooks the lake or the Sea of Galilee. I happened to be there for lunch just over a month ago and was astounded by the variety of food on offer and how well-run the place was. How does one do that? I am delighted to have Mark Wolf, the CEO of Nof Kinneret, as my guest now to tell me more. Mark, welcome and thanks for joining me.
Hi, thank you for inviting me. I hope you can hear me.
I can hear you. Mark, it was wonderful to be hosted at your hotel. And as I said, it was incredible to see what you're doing. Am I correct that people are not talking about the refugees and displaced people within Israel enough?
Well, when we started, when we opened the hotel, it was ready, I think, the 9th of October, 2 days after everything started. We understood that we have to be able to first to restart the hotel. We are in a crisis situation also in Israel, of course, but also in the hotel. And we opened our doors and immediately decided one very important thing. We are not taking refugees, evacuated people. We are talking about guests. This was really a very, very important issue because some people lost their houses, people are without a house and they have to feel at home, and that's the way we try to act. Yes.
Oh, it's incredible that you refer to them as guests. How many rooms does your hotel have?
When we started, we were like, we have 170 rooms. We started with 350 persons. Now we are less than 200. You have to understand, we are already half a year in this situation. Mm. Most guests came a month after 7th of October, beginning of November. They're here for 5 months. And especially for young families, it's a very, very difficult situation. Being in a hotel room, it's nice being in a hotel for a weekend, for a week, for 5 months. It's not an easy situation. And young families are leaving. They're looking for apartments, which of course I understand. That's the best decision they can make.
Well, there is no indication that the situation is going to change.
Well, I think if you ask our guests here, it's a very strange situation. When you walk around the hotel at the terrace, you see people. They're smiling. They're okay. Like tourists. You see hotel guests, but I'm sure at night they're not laughing. Of course, I think people are crying. People are worried. And when you ask them what is the main thing that bothers you, it's they don't know what's going to happen when they can go back, and I think that's the most bothering thing. There's no end date.
Mm. Mark, you talk about families and small children. Obviously, for those, COVID taught us that we can work from just about everywhere, but some jobs are not amenable to that. What are families with small children doing during the day?
Well, in the beginning, we had everything children needed. We had a kindergarten, a school. They opened here in Tiberias. They opened a school with 4,000 children. It was built in 2 months, especially for people from the north. And we had buses coming here, school buses from our hotel to the school. The parents, it depends. People who have work, they can do. Is it on computer or so? So they're working. You see people, our parking lot gets empty during the day, so people are working. But a lot of people from the kibbutzim in the north, they used to work in the kibbutz, agriculture, and so, and they just can't go there. They can't go to the fields, and they're sitting in the lobby, sitting and waiting. That's actually what they're doing, and that's also not easy at all.
It's absolutely awful. What was the process in getting the guests that came to you there, as opposed to, I mean, did you just take in the first couple of families, or are certain hotels designated to ones with small children and then others with businesses, or how did it work?
Well, as I try not to have so too much criticism, because we were in a very hectic situation, but actually in the beginning people are just running and trying to find hotel rooms, available hotel rooms. And in the beginning it was a hectic situation. Afterwards they tried to have kibbutzim together, communities together. It worked, but if you take, for example, Kibbutz Dafna, who are in our hotel, I think they're divided into three hotels. Instead of being all together, if you take Kiryat Shmona as a city, that's even more difficult. People had to find a private solution, came to hotels, looked for rooms, and then, it sounds strange because we are in a war situation, but also, of course, they were looking for better hotel, better situations, and it was very, very difficult, really, for the people finding their quietness. It was hectic, that I can say. Now this is finished. Now we're back to normal situation, not at all, but more quiet. Yes.
Does the government fund the hotel?
Yeah, they do. They do. As we are concerned, as hotels, we get paid by government. So it's no. I always say, it's not our problem, it's the problem of our children and grandchildren. This will take years to fund this, but as hotel, we get paid by government, yes.
And in terms of the logistics, as I said, to run something like that, you know, when it's tourists that come in, they come in for, you know, anything from one day, maybe 10 days, they go, you have a chance to clean, to whatever. Here, people are literally, this is their lives. It's as you said, 5 months already, with no end in sight. What are the logistics involved in running it? How many staff do you have?
Well, first it was the idea of our staff. You have to understand, they were very happy to be in a situation of doing, because we you know, in the beginning they thought they had to go home and wait until this was finished, and so we could do something and help the situation. Of course, we had to change. For example, people, our guests, the waiters, we have much less waiters because our guests want to make their own salad. They want to take their dishes out of the table. They don't want to be served. It's their house. Housekeeping. People are cleaning their own rooms. We want to help them, but they want to feel at home. For example, we have, for salad, you should see it. It's a very strange situation. We have vegetables and cutting table, and people are making their own salad because they want to make their own salad, like everybody wants to do. So the hotel had to change. It's more like now, especially when the young people's left, it's more like a retire home than a hotel. We know all our guests by name, all of them and their children, and my staff, they feel very privileged that they can do this, yes.
And in terms of, I don't know very much about how hotels run in terms of catering, but I imagine you have like a routine of Monday to Friday, this is what happens. Can you still do that?
No, I didn't understand the question.
In terms of catering, like Mondays, you know, got this menu, and Tuesdays you got that menu, because you know that your guests are leaving, you know, they're not going to be having the same food. Does it work the same way when people are there for 5 months and more?
Well, that's a very funny question, actually, because our chef cook, he's used to guest changing every week. So usually we use the same menu, seasonal changing, but menu is usually the same menu every week.
Yes.
And now our guests are changing. So after 1 week, they started like, oh, we saw this already last week. So we had to really our chef cook had to build completely different menus for older people, for younger, for children, diet, and well, that's challenging. But I think we found a solution, and people are happy here as concert to this. Yeah,
I know for a fact that the people there are happy, and I know that when we were there specifically for a meeting with one of your guests, and he said how incredibly grateful he was that he had happened to land up at your hotel. But I just also wonder the impact that it has had on the city of Tiberias. We were on Lake Kinneret, and probably we were the only tourists in the area. What has happened to the area, and the fact that so many people have come in, has that impacted on the economy of the city?
Well, first, to give you just, I think you saw it yourself, there are big traffic jams in Tiberias. Population of 20,000 people are now 60,000. In the supermarkets, there are lines not because of the situation, because there are 60,000 people. If you go to Kupat Cholim, to the pharmacy, you have to wait and wait and wait. It's getting better. They got used to it. And I think it's got a big impact in Tiberias in all fields. I think it's also for the people here in Tiberias, because there's no tourism now. So it's for them, it's good, but it's challenging, yeah. I think for everybody here in the area, and of course also for our guests.
You talk about it being challenging. The problems you had right at the beginning are very different to the problems you have now. Do you anticipate that things are going to get more difficult as the war continues, or do you think you'll eventually everybody will find their place and just settle in?
Well, that's a difficult question, especially now when we have the tension with Iran. I can say people are walking around with tension. We prepared everything, shelters here and water and whatever. And I think we are ready for, if everything will happen, we'll find a solution. We are living from one day to the other. And well, people say here in the hotel, when you wake up in the morning, then it's okay. Well, moderni lefanecha. So it's a new day, and you have to live by day, and Bezrat Hashem will be okay. That's what we're waiting for.
Do you know how many hotels are operating as refugee centers?
No, I don't know the exact number, but it's about hundreds. We're talking about 80,000 people from the north. The people in the south, they're trying to go back to their houses. But from the north, 80,000 people, refugees, at this moment still. I think in the hotels, there are between 50,000 and 60,000 people now.
Mark, for you, it must be one hang of a responsibility. How do you keep positive, and do you need time out? Do you need to go to a hotel just for a few days to break out?
You have to understand that it sounds terrible, and it is a terrible situation, but you have to understand we come to our hotel, people say, good morning, Boker Tov, and laughing, and that we have a new community. It's called the Community Nof Kinneret. And maybe I have the privilege of being the head of the community. It's a new task, but it's not difficult to go to work. If you think it's negative, it's a negative feeling. It's the opposite. We have very good contact with our guests, and it's like being with friends. It's it's good to go to work, not difficult.
Wow, and anticipating what might go wrong in terms of running a hotel, that doesn't worry you? It's not waking up and thinking, oh, I wonder what's going to break today or malfunction?
Well, that's part of being a hotel manager. There's always something going wrong every day. So that's part of my life. We don't need a war for this in a hotel.
Mark, it's been absolutely incredible talking to you. It was incredible meeting you. And everything that you've expressed here, I picked up at your hotel. And all I can say is I hope one day our community can visit your community there and experience the hospitality that I did, the incredible food that I did, the incredible choice of food that I did, and hopefully meet at happier times.
I would be very, very happy to welcome you, not as a mission and not as journalist, as normal guest and back to peaceful Israel again. You're really welcome.
Thank you very much. That was Mark Welg, the CEO of Nuf Kinneret. And he was just talking about how he has taken in over 300 at some point guests that have been displaced during the war.